Let's talk about fluorescent light bulbs versus regular light bulbs. Which should I be using? You know, which one saves me money? Well, the fluorescent is more expensive, therefore it costs me more money, right?
Over the life of the bulb, the compact fluorescent will actually save you money because you use much less energy.
I understand they have a lot of mercury, so I could die.
They have potential to that. They do have mercury, but if you break a bulb, just don't look it. They'll be fine.
Here's the thing about looking compact fluorescent. Why do they make it look like a soft serve?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Tacos Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. And every Sunday, right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Every zone is tropicized. True currents, tropical breeze. Windmills and breeze trees. Strong north on a desert shower. Good planets are far. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden center. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. If he's a Renaissance man, I'm a Madonna and child with angels. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Hey, the filmmakers are here.
Yeah.
They're in the studio. But they didn't bring any cameras, so I'm a little confused here.
I'm relieved because I don't have I'm not ready for my picture taken as of yet today. I like radio.
Where are we?
I don't want anybody to see us yet.
That's Carrie London, producer and director, and Mark Frizzell, producer writer for Jens Jensen, Harmonious World. They're going to be with us in just a second to talk about the remarkable Jens Jensen. And I'm going to ask the question, why isn't it Jens Jensen? I've always wondered that. Does anybody say that? Jens? I first looked at it and went, oh, it's got to be Jens. Jopen Yemen.
I don't know. It looks like a day to me. You move to America, you change your name when you do that.
Yeah, but some people keep it, you know. We still have, Jesus. So,
Yeah, I've got something in Wisconsin, hey there. They probably do call me Jens Jensen.
They probably do.
Do, I'm sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
In the second part of the show, Martha Boyd, the program director for the Urban Initiative in Chicago, or Angelic Organics Learning Center, is going to be with us. They are going to celebrate the summer solstice next Saturday, which is not exactly summer solstice day, but it's close enough. You know, it's in the ballpark. So I believe there will be the sacrificing of something, I don't know. Dancing around rings.
Zucchinis?
Maybe, I don't know. We'll find out what that's all about. Romanda Joy, otherwise known as The Yarden for you Twitter types, is on the show. I went out to the Peterson Garden Project the other week. It's pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable. There's a picture of it on MikeNovak.net, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you can see LaManda and me sitting there
amongst the 140 garden beds that they are. What a project that is. And she had problems with compost loading in and things like that. Sent me an emergency text this week, said, "Help, we got some problems." But actually, everything turned out fine. And we're going to talk to her about that. I may get around to talking a little bit about the, as I put on the website, the recycling circus in Chicago, because that's what it is. It's out of control. And now the city council is going to tell the suburbanites they can't dump their recycling in our containers. It's like, I don't even know where to start with this. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, listen, dingbats, we'll get some real recycling in our city and then worry about whether the suburbanites are using our bins. You know, fix the 360,000 people who don't have the blue carts right now first.
You want them to
be and then worry about whether he's going to drop a plastic bottle in one of your recycling containers.
Oh, God, it's not going to the landfill.
I know.
Anyway,
don't think about the city council. Three, four. City council is really irrelevant. They don't matter. Five, six.
You can think about the family.
Richie Daly's going to get his way anyway. Seven, eight.
Oh. Focus on the positive headlines.
All right. You know what? We're going to do that, but not now, because I got guests in the studio. Yeah. We will talk Blackhawks later, because I got a bone to pick about that, all right? The only thing I will say is they turned out not to be the Cubs on ice.
No, they were definitely not.
They turned out to be the White Sox on ice.
Well, hopefully it'll be 1 year. Hopefully they'll do it again next year, but I'm okay with
that. We're going to talk about that later, because I do have a bone to pick about that. But let's get to our guests in the studio. Kerry London and Mark Frizzell. Yeah, let's throw that microphone. So each of them take the mic away from Heather. That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
You forget I can still tweet.
Yeah, so go ahead and tweet. See you right there. Here you guys are. You're in the midst of this project. Your goal is to get Jens Jensen, Harmonious World on PBS. Has that been arranged? Is it a done deal?
Yeah, we've arranged with a number of stations around the Midwest so far that are going to play it, and we basically spoke with them about it when we first started the project, and everybody was interested. So there were people who knew a little bit about Jensen. There's a lot of people. There's people scattered all over the place who are Jensen aficionados, and they know about it, and people in the know who are cool know about Jensen. The rest of the world will know about Jensen once they see it on PBS, but all over the Midwest will play, and then we'll start to build out to the rest of the country.
But it's not like going to NBC or ABC or something. You got to do this piecemeal, I guess, with PBS stations.
PBS is its own way of doing everything, and basically you can, we are going to push it to the network to see if they'll play it as part of their network programming. But the way the PBS works is it's a zillion stations, and they get a lot of programming, and you have to figure out which one they actually want to air. It's completely different from the network where they funnel in programming and you play, whenever they funnel down at 7:30. It's totally different. So it is like selling it out per network, actually.
It sounds like it makes your work that much harder.
It's a whole hard.
If you go to their website, jensjensenharmoniousworld.org, and you can do that by linking to my website, mikenovak.net, you will see that Kerry and Mark are still raising money to do this. And I imagine it's one of those deals where you get up in the morning thinking about money and you go to bed thinking about money. I mean, in addition to the project, but we'll get to the source of this in a second, but this kind of thing ain't easy. It would break lesser people, right?
Let's just say the life of an independent filmmaker is something where you really need to understand the business, you need to understand the law, you need to have a vision, you need to stick with it. I mean, it's an insurance test.
The law. Where does the law come into this?
Oh, rights of, copyright. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things. You can't even air anything on television unless you have rights from every single person that's in the film. And every piece of material that you've gotten research from, it's all got to be cleared before it can even go on television.
And I see, again, if you go to the website, Jens Jensen Harmonious World, you'll see all the people that you interviewed for this. A lot of historians and...
You have to really learn the entire subject as much as you can. I mean, you know, we probably read 50 books on every different kinds of aspects of Jens's world, the Renaissance culture that he came into in Chicago or helped develop. I mean, there's so many aspects of it. And you had to whittle it down to the story, you know, the story that you're going to tell.
Well, yeah, you've got to tell a story. Okay, and that's where we get into Jens Jensen. Mm-hmm. And since we have Mark, who's just preloading here this morning, just sort of
morning, Mike.
Hey, have a munchkin. Get a sugar rush going here. How do you tell this story? Because this is a you're doing this in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex man.
Mm-hmm.
As I wrote on my website, if you call him a visionary, you're probably underestimating him.
Yeah.
Mark, how do you even start to tell this story?
Well, Jensen lived a long life. He was born in 1860 and died in 1951, so we did have a broad canvas to paint. Primarily, he's known here in Chicago as the creator of some of our great West Side parks, namely Garfield Park, Humboldt Park, Douglas Park, and his founding achievement, of course, which was Columbus Park. That period of his work was largely in the wake of the turn of the last century up until about the 1920s. He then transitioned to a kind of celebrity landscape architect, I guess you could say. He worked for such
landscape architect of a star.
Yes. Henry Ford, the famous Fairlane, and the Rosenwalds, a number of
buildings.
San Luiso, exactly. Then the third act of his life, after the death of his wife in 1934, he relocated to Ellison Bay up in Door County and established what he characterized as a school for the soil. It was kind of like Frank Lloyd Wright, one of his contemporaries, school, Taliesin, Jensen School. The clearing is still up and running today. We were just up there shooting this week. It's scary to tell you about that. So, as we broke his leg down, it kind of fit into these parts until he passed away there in 1951.
And there are lots of different chapters in his life, which we will get to in just a second. In fact, I want to place you've unearthed some audio of Jens Jensen.
Yes. I did. The Milwaukee Public Museum, a wonderful archivist there who I've been in contact with, told me she found these three records, and it was a radio interview Jensen did sometime from the context during the war, so I would put it in the mid-40s. At this point, he is retired and has kind of become a sage of the environment and all his vision. He's a very kind of a wise man version. You'll hear the audio. Are we going to play it?
We're going to play it. In fact, that's my little tease, say, folks. So you're going to hear Jens Jensen live on the Mike Novak Show. Well, not live. He's been dead for a while. But a recording, a live recording, whatever. We're live, exactly. And we'll talk about a little bit more about his life because, all in all, it wasn't smooth sailing the whole time, even though he eventually became an icon. And is to this day. In studio, Mark Frizzell and Carrie London with the Jens Jensen Harmonious World audio of the man himself coming up next.
Hey, I want you guys to meet some new friends of mine, Christy and Greg Kurtz from Artesia Home Visions out in Naperville. I just toured their warehouse a few weeks ago and was blown away by what they're doing. They're redefining decorative finishes for countertops, tables, pretty much any surface. I saw what they did to an old laminate countertop. It looked and felt like real granite after they applied their secret finish.
Come on.
No, really. It absolutely looked like real stone. The best part, it's all about half the cost of getting real stone. There are tons of great finishes, colors, and textures to choose from. So pretty much anything you find in a home fashion magazine, they can duplicate. So there you have it. My official endorsement for a great company with an awesome product. Give our team at Home Visions a call at 630-995-3865. And have them spec out your next project. Hey, don't take my word for it. Check out their pictures at ArtesiaHomeVisions.com. That's A-R-T-E-S-A, HomeVisions.com. Or check out the link at MightyHouse.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, start with tomatoes. And what better way to get them off to a fast start than Tomato Tone from Espoma? I've said this before. If the word tone is part of the name, it's from Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Tomato Tone is formulated specifically for growing the healthiest, juiciest tomatoes around. Tomato Tone's organic blend feeds your plants naturally and will not force rapid growth at the expense of blooms and tomato yield. And it contains Biotone, their patented blend of beneficial microbes. Biotone biologically enhances their natural plant food to ensure superior plant growth. It's a complex blend of 100% natural organics to provide complete and balanced feeding. Tomato Tone is long-lasting and it releases slowly. It won't burn or leach away. And as with all Espoma products, it's environmentally safe. There are no sludges or toxic ingredients. None of the bad stuff is in Espoma. Tomato Tone is just one of the great products from Espoma, including Holly Tone, Plant Tone, Flower Tone, Rose Tone, and others. Log on to Espoma.com for more information about Espoma products or call 888-ESPOMA-1, 888-ESPOMA-1, Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Let's listen in on a brief conversation between Ralph the Gardening Master and famed seedsman Jonathan Green.
Jonathan, if you could select one achievement in your life that you value most, what would it be?
Well, all of my life I've cared about improving the quality of long grasses. My new Black Beauty grass seed may be my most remarkable development yet.
Really? Tell me more.
Black Beauty produces turf with an unusually rich dark green color. It is also very drought tolerant because it has an invisible waxy coating covering the leaves, like that of an apple. This coating holds the moisture inside. Black Beauty gives your lawn endurance for times when watering the lawn is a problem.
Jonathan, your Black Beauty grass seed sounds great. Pick up Black Beauty grass seed and all other Jonathan Green products at your nearby independent garden center or hardware store.
Visit me at jonathangreen.com for the dealer near you and to view my how-to lawn videos.
For more information on Jonathan Green, again, go to jonathangreen.com and you can find Jonathan Green products at Sid's Home and Garden Showplace in Pinellas Hills, Pasquazi Home and Garden in Lake Bluff, and Poland's Garden Center in Kankakee. Now, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you have mature trees on your property and you're worried about spring storms, we've got a few of those go through, you should know that the Care of Trees has 24-hour emergency service. Storms, of course, can result in broken limbs or even downed trees, and many people don't know how dangerous it is to remove or prune those trees. What's worse, trees can fall on cars, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. Some of the most dangerous conditions are when a tree falls on another tree. That complicates removal. The point is that the Care of Trees offers a 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years and shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their businesses, people, and their love for trees. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking about the very interesting life of Jens Jensen, and it's featured in a new film that's going to be shown on a local PBS station near you. Check your local listings, as they say. And in studio, I have Carrie London, producer, director, and Mark Frizzell, who's a producer, writer. I think we should hear some of that audio from Jens. I'm going to play something that you sent me. We'll play a little bit of it, and then maybe
a little more. But when I was playing this for Greg Alexander, who's here filling in for Mike Sanders and working in the station today, he said, let me clean up that the scratchiness. I said, no, I want the scratchiness in there. It sounds like it was a recording that was made 70 years ago or something like that. But this is Jens Jensen, recorded as we think, you said,
I'm in the 40s, you say, get it.
Okay.
I want this to be talked to the real cause of the control. There's been possible big money spring from the city, so sponsor the soil of ancient gifts. And I think that our American contributory in its making will also come out of the soil. Because to me, the soil is at all the fundamental of our human existence. And every American should know the value of the soil. And he has to know it before he ever left this country, like most of the foreign born left their country, from which their forefathers have made contributions.
All right. Thank you for talking about the soil. Why are you laughing?
Well, I think you see that he was a kind of a 19th century sensibility, and we're trying to go back to that. I think if we can evoke that in our film, we'll achieve the kind of sense of where he was coming from.
Well, he was a romantic, you know, romanticism about nature is man's relationship to nature, and it's really a different approach to what to looking at nature than a current approach. I mean, it's sort of about he's talking about the soil as a being, really. You know, it's a player in his world.
Mm-hmm.
The soil is very important, and
He talks about the soil. He doesn't say the plants. He doesn't say the trees. He doesn't say the vista. He says the soil. And he seems to imply that Americans haven't figured out that this is who they are, that it comes from the soil.
Yes, I think that's exactly right, Mike, because really what he was saying, the time that he came here, you know, there was America's fascination with Europe and European ways of doing things and building design and everything else. The prairie style had not been, you know, developed. There was no Midwest sensibility. And he felt that this is something that, you know, America, wake up. You need to look at the soil as one of your great advantages. This is the ability to see big spaces and open sky, the ability to actually be able to plow a field. I mean, in Europe, all that land was already cut up, and there's no native prairie, there's no native forest hardly there.
Well, it's long ago.
Long ago, you know.
And lots of things that were gone long ago. I mean, one of the things I talk about on this show is sustainability and things like peat bogs. Well, the peat bogs in Europe, they're gone. They've been gone for centuries. We still have them in North America, and we need to preserve them. And the other thing that happened at Jensen's time, obviously Chicago was this busted city, but it was dirty, it was crime-ridden, and they had forsaken the prairie and created slums. And Jensen, I don't know how the guy comes in and looks at it and says, we can put the prairie back in Chicago.
It's pretty astonishing achievement to do that.
You should
have parks for people to go to,
I mean, just saying that they're, you know, looking at Chicago, at that time, the fastest growing city in human history. Okay, what does that say? You know, you're watching the city. You look at the prairie as in jeopardy, the prairie in jeopardy completely disappearing to agriculture and city.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at a guy who sees this as so let's step back for a second. So Jensen comes to Florida, and that's where he lands, and then he takes a train north through Nebraska with, by the way, let's step back even one step further. Jensen left Denmark because he wanted to marry a woman who was below his station, so to speak. And he was landed nobility at that time.
Yeah, and he comes to America and he ends up being, what, a street sweeper or something?
Ends up being a street sweeper, but first he comes to marry Anne Marie, which he's able to do. Then he takes the train north and he sees the tall grass prairie of Nebraska. He sees the oak savannas. He begins to see these things, and when he sees them, he experiences an epiphany. And an epiphany is this great space that looks like the ocean. It's so wide, it's so broad, it's so, it goes on forever, and it's undulating, and it feels like the ocean that was behind his house. And it's that experience that helps him begin to formulate his ideas for why this is important.
You know, I've got the audio of him talking about it.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's do this.
Sure.
I was born and raised on the actual sea where my forefathers had been with themselves thousands of years ago. I was affected by the immensity of the sea, and in its place came the great strength of the earth. It somehow took the place that the sea had given to the fish. And it is not what I love. I've been in the east, I've been in Florida, I've been in the mountains, but there wasn't anything that affected me as a sea. The steepness of the wind, the tremendous distance, the immensity of it all, the feeling of Americans, fellow Americans, brothers and sisters all over the strange place of ours. It is the strength of America, the greatest strength we have, far more powerful than the mountains.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just far more powerful than the mountains. And we all know what mountains inspire in people.
Mm-hmm.
Songs and paintings and literature. And yet, here's Jasmine, he says the plains are much greater than the mountains.
And I think he's talking about the expanse of freedom. I think too, for a man, let's not forget, there was a war literally fought in his backyard in Denmark. And his country was overrun by Austria, and he was conscripted into their army. And he had a great antipathy toward being taken over by another country,
yes,
and being forced to be in their army. And the formalism, the class structure of Europe, all of that stuff felt very imposing on him. So when he comes here and he sees this great open space, it's almost as if, you know, as the West was actually closing at that time, he was seeing what was undiscovered, and it's sort of an undiscovered country that he was saying, no, look, this is what we have here. This is something that contains a lot more than just plants. It's a spiritual clearing. Okay, it's something that you can own and possess, and we can install into our lives, not just out of the country, but for those people who are stuck in the city. Those the people who are working at all the factories, the union stockyards, all those places, you can take it and take the feeling that I got, and it's sticking in the city now.
Mm-hmm.
And help them feel the way that I did. And maybe they can begin to feel human too.
That is Terry London, who's the producer director of Jens Jensen Harmonious World. Mark Brazell is also in studio. Now, I'll give you an opportunity. We have to do weather here. I got to, this is not PBS, so I got to make some money for myself here. It's not even NPR. If you want to stick around till 9, we can continue this conversation a little bit, because you talk about the greatness of Jensen and everything that happened to him. There was hardship along the way. Strawberries and roses and flowers and whatever. I was going to say all guns and roses for him, but that's not exactly right. We will continue the conversation about this movie, this film, that's a documentary that's going to be coming out on PBS in just a little bit. Here's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Dr. Wally, as you know, isn't a real doctor, but nobody can read his writing either. Dr. Wally tells me that the other day he kicked one of his rain gutters and a dozen earwigs poured out. And he got an idea for a truly environmentally safe earwig control. Earwigs love to hide out in really warm, dark, secure areas. So here's how you outsmart them. Take a small length of gutter and tape the end up. Set it in your garden where earwig munching has occurred. First thing in the morning, fill up a pail with very hot water and soap. Place the pail close to the trap. Pick up the gutter and quickly, because earwigs are really fast, dump them into their last bath. He's also used boiling hot water and poured the dearly departed around his bird feeder where our feathered friends can feast. That's the kind of great information you're going to get from Pesci. It's a little gruesome, of course, for the earwigs, but not for you. Family owned since 1924, Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. That's P-E-S-C-H-E-S.
Remember running around your backyard as a turtle, sunshine warming your face, summer breeze in your hair? Who'd have thought that someday that same sun and wind would power our everyday lives? Earth, wind, and solar energy in Chicago harnesses the awesome power of nature, converting raw resources into renewable and sustainable energy for your home and business. They specialize in professional design and installation of solar PV, thermal and wind turbines, as well as providing certified energy audits. Earth, wind, and solar energy is on the cutting edge of wind and solar technology, and owners Rihanna and John have been advising consumers on alternative energy for years. As a matter of fact, John serves on the board of the Illinois Solar Energy Association. Choosing alternative energy is easy when you've found the right professional. Call Earth, Wind, and Solar today and ask for your free site assessment. To learn more about money-saving, earth-loving ways to heat and power your home, call 312-243-9933. That's 312-243-9933. Or log on to earthwindandsolarenergy.com.
We're smack in the middle of the veggie season. It's here. It's off and rolling. And you should try Dr. Earth's organic tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer. Here's why. In addition to its all-natural nutrients, it contains Dr. Earth's probiotics. 7 champion strains of beneficial soil microbes, plus ecto and endo mycorrhizae. And here's a tip. Don't use chlorinated water if you're using Dr. Earth. Pour the water into a bucket or a jug without a lid and let it gas off for 24 hours before applying. The microbes in the veggie fertilizer will thank you. Dr. Earth is available only at your local independent garden center. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent spray. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's BOBBEX.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
It could be moving rain, before tears from the eyes. Since you've been gone, all I do is cry. Hope somebody pushes me.
And we do need some help from Rick DeMaio, meteorologist extraordinaire. And I can't think of a more appropriate song. It just seems to keep raining and raining and raining, Rick.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? This is it's been a wet pattern, and it appears like it's going to get even wetter, actually.
Really? Wetter? Oh, nice. Okay. This is on the Mike Novak Show. Rick DeMaio, weather. He's here with us every week about this time. Yeah, I did ask him. I got the answer. But is it now? The question is, because we have had wet weather with really warm conditions and wet weather with cool conditions, it seems to every day is a little different.
Right. You know, it's one of these things where we've had basically rain on at least 7 of the 12 days so far in June. And because the stationary frontal boundary has been fluctuating across basically the central part of the Midwest, every once in a while it moves north when we have a wind off the lake, particularly those residents, you know, close to the lakefront, you have temperatures like yesterday, which only topped out in the mid-60s, which was interesting because when I was ready to put together my climate page, the daily climate summary for Chicago for yesterday, I was working at Channel 2, I'm thinking to myself, well, I can't post 77 degrees for the high temperature for O'Hare because that was at 2 o'clock in the morning. Once that front went through, at about 3:30 or so, the mercury dropped into the mid to upper 60s and it pretty much stayed there all day. And that's one of the That's one of the problems with daily climate information. Unless the people on TV tell you that the high temperature did not occur during the time when people really care about it, it doesn't really mean much, but then you compare that.
You know, I was working last night and caught you doing that, and you practically apologized for it. I'm sorry, Chris. It was 77, but it was at 2 a.m. It wasn't my fault, folks. Right. That's the way it happened.
Well, I had to kind of say something like that, because the day before, everybody was talking about, you know, possible temperatures in the mid to upper 80s, and, you know, that was the case. If you went down into places like, you know, southern areas of LaSalle County and, places like Elgin topped out at 88 yesterday, Joliet topped out at 89, yet, you know, the northern suburbs barely made it above 68 or 69. That's a 20-degree spread. You know, when you're expecting it to be hot and humid and it's, you know, damp and chilly, you get a little pissed off at the weather. And not a little to some degree.
There's only one other guy in town that's going to use that terminology.
Sunday morning, right?
It's Sunday morning, but that makes it even better. Are we going to continue to be sometimes below the photo boundary and sometimes above it?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, Mike, because the lull is now basically through us. So we're in this what's called a low stratocumulus cloud deck that is basically pretty much has formed due to the fact that we had a lot of wet ground, the wind off the lake. But I do think we'll see some breaks in the overcast today. Matter of fact, the sky is a little bit bright out there right now. This is indicative of the fact there is a little bit of what we call sustenance or sinking motion to the atmosphere. So, you know, again, temperatures today along the lakefront, I don't think they're going to break 70 degrees. Along the North Shore, probably staying in the upper 60s, northern suburbs, maybe lower 70s if you're heading out to Blues Fest. You know, dress warmly. And in fact, this is one of those situations where you go and sit down on the grass and all of a sudden you get up and you have those two big wet spots on your behind.
I know. I was thinking about that. Even without the rain, the ground is sloped. And you have to bring a tarp.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to sit on that lawn.
Yeah, this is real good stuff. And I still like to get, you know, lots of rain in early June because, you know, we've known around here for time and time again, you get into these patterns, we get into the dry stuff, and you can easily be, you know, watering your lawn about a month from now. But the bottom line is, though, cloudy today. I don't think we're going to see any rain until probably after about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. And this wavy frontal boundary, as you referred to, Mike, this, the one that was basically right across the metropolitan area yesterday, resulting in about 0.2 inches of rain across the northern suburbs, about a half inch in the city. But then you go to the southern suburbs, and there were some places that got anywhere between 2 and 2.5 inches of rain, which is an amazing amount. Yeah, it's quite a bit. And, we kind of did a little bit of a survey here with help from the Illinois Water Survey and also the State Climatology Office, headed by Jim Angel. And we actually ended up the month of, or at least not the month, but the period March 1st to May 31st, which is basically your springtime months, March, April, and May, with about 9 to 11 inches of rain across northern Illinois, parts of Missouri, southern sections of Iowa, anywhere between 15 and 17 inches of rain. The deep south, I shouldn't say the deep south, but the southernmost sections of the Midwest, anywhere between 15 and 17 inches. And then you still have to talk about that absolutely catastrophic event down in southwestern Arkansas, Mike, where, you know, 16 campers lost their lives, 22 people are still missing. This kind of reminds me of the Big Thompson River Canyon flood in Colorado back in the mid-70s. Now, that one obviously was a national catastrophe because you had more than 250 people perish in waters that were moving at 50 and 60 miles per hour and were about 30 feet high. Basically, people were camping in a canyon, and you had, you know, 10 to 12 inches of rain. The situation in Arkansas really... Really, I think is a testament to how fast river waters can rise when they have nowhere else to go. And you really need to be careful about where you're going to put your tent, where you're going to put your campsite before you go to bed at night. And I still remember a time when I was up in the Adirondacks and we were in the middle of a drought and the ground was rock hard. And I was with another meteorologist and we were camping. And And all of a sudden, we heard these, you know, rumbles of thunder. We heard obviously a big thunderstorm is off in the distance. And we're thinking to ourselves, wow, this is pretty cool. It almost turns back to rain, and it's raining heavier and heavier. Next thing we know, we look at the floor of the tent, and the floor of the tent is beginning to become, you know, somewhat squishy. And we look out the window, and there's literally a stream coming right towards us. We didn't realize we were actually in, you know, a dry creek bed, and we had to move our site very quickly. But it's just a horrible, horrible thing to think about. And those people actually had no chance.
Yeah.
Because A, they didn't get the warning because they didn't have access to the information. It didn't have a weather radio. And B, it happened in the middle of the night. You just didn't know what was going on. And that was just, you hear about that and you go, oh my God, I wish there was a better way of getting that information to them. So
yeah.
Still to this day, they keep, you know, there's 22 people missing. Just an awful situation.
And that's on the heels of what happened in Tennessee
a
few weeks ago. And it's just, it's sort of the model for climate change. You have more and more severe storms. Even if the total of the rain doesn't change, it just comes in waves like that, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. We've definitely seen an increase in intensity of rainfall. And over the next 5 days, we can easily see anywhere between 2 and as much as 3 inches of rain. So we'll probably get the system come through here later on tonight, and it looks like tonight into Monday morning and Tuesday, we're looking for a continuation of rain. That'll probably push us up to about, we're right now standing at 2 inches of rain for the first 12 days of the month of June. We'll probably push it up to about 3.5 by the time we're done with this thing on Tuesday. And that's the normal amount of rain we normally get in the month of June, or I'm not even through, you know, the midway point of the month. But the forecast does look better. It begins to dry out a little bit. Probably after Tuesday, and we can talk a little bit more about that as you talk about roses, right?
Well, actually, no. But anyway, next week we'll talk about that, all right? Because I want to get back to our Jens Jensen Harmonious World, and I'll let you know that the Rick DeMaio weather is, you can find that on my website, mikenovak.net, or go to demioweather.com. Anything we missed before I let you go?
No, just the fact that I think once we get past the rain on Tuesday, it looks like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and possibly into Sunday appear to be drying out, but definitely on the warm and humid side, Mike. And for sure, I think by this time next week, we'll be talking about temperatures back into the upper 80s, close to 90. And I'm still looking for a fairly hot summer to develop, Mike, with anywhere between 20 and 25 days above 90 degrees, we'll talk more.
Wow, then they better start coming fast. And next week, I think maybe, or the week after, I want to talk a little bit about the hurricane season and what you see coming down the pike, especially given the fact that, you know, we don't even have a Gulf anymore. It's just filled with oil. It's just a tub of oil down there now. So
yeah, that may have some of an effect. But
I think it will.
We'll talk about that also, yeah. The fact that the water temperatures in the Atlantic are as warm as they've been in the last 10 years.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's Rick DeMaio. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, Mike. Have a good day.
You too. Are you familiar with Aldo Leopold, another great conservationist? He's considered the father of wildlife ecology. WRD Environmental would like you to remember something that Aldo Leopold wrote. He said, "The outstanding scientific discovery of the 20th century is not television or radio, but rather the complexity of the land organism. Only those who know the most about it can appreciate how little we know about it. The last word in ignorance is the man who says of an animal or plant, what good is it? If the land mechanism as a whole is good, then every part is good, whether we understand it or not. If the biota in the course of eons has built something we like but do not understand, then who but a fool would discard seemingly useless parts? To keep every cog and wheel is the first precaution of intelligent tinkering." Sounds a little bit like Jens Jensen, too. And WRD Environmental, they not only appreciate the complexity of our region's ecology, but are dedicated to protecting, restoring, and healing it. WRD creates sustainable landscapes from large-scale master planning to community pocket parks. For innovative, sustainable landscape development, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology, and online at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Hey, Bob. Nice brick patio.
Thanks. I had enough of the wood deck. Time to upgrade.
You didn't do this yourself, did you? This is pretty elaborate.
Heck no. I had Lucian and his guys from Hardscape Designs do it. They did my neighbor's across the street, and his patio is twice this big.
We've been thinking of switching to brick, too. Seems the big thing now.
This looks amazing.
Well, give Lucian a call.
Got his number right here on my phone. 847-966-7620.
847-966-7620. Got it. Did they do all this new landscaping, too?
Yep. I don't have time for yard work, and you've seen our neighbor's yards.
Yeah. Angle cut, shrubs that look like lions and sort of half.
Right. So I had Hardscape Designs bring in all those plants and flowers, and they come once a week to mow and trim. Life's good again.
Maybe all that extra time will improve your swing.
Oh, burn, buddy.
Call Hardscape Designs for brick and stone patios that will turn your neighbor's green with envy. 847-966-7620 or log into HardscapeDesignsInc.com.
Do gardeners want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through these spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shops, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
June is Perennial Plant Gardening Month, a great time to discover new perennials at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center. Right now, Sid's is celebrating Perennial Gardening Month with their Perennials on Parade event. They invite you to discover the vivid array of perennial plants available to create or expand your perennial garden. In fact, Sid's is so excited about perennials that they'll even give you a free perennial with the coupon you can download and print from their website. And that website is SidsOnline.com. When planning your perennial display, Sid's recommends selecting combinations of plants to create the most interesting impact. Why wouldn't you? Visit SIDS to learn tips and techniques for planting, planting, and caring for perennial plants. And remember, the Father's Day is coming up. It's next week. And what dad wouldn't love a new Weber grill? SIDS stocks the full line of Weber grills and accessories, or there's always a SIDS gift card so dad can pick out just what he wants. SIDS Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Neighbor Plainfield Road and Hassert Boulevard, and on the web, as I said before, at SIDSOnline.com. Welcome back to the Mailbox Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm glad you're with me on this. It was a little drizzly when I came in, but it's going to clear up, as Rick DeMille says. Carrie London and Mark Frizzell are in studio. They are the creators of Jens Jensen, Harmonious World. We're talking about the life of Jens Jensen. And if you didn't know who he was, and you said, Carrie, that some people do, but a lot of folks don't anymore. Even in Chicago, I suspect a lot of folks don't know who Jens Jensen was. And we talked about some of his successes, the great designs of the West Side Parks, the Fern Room at Garfield Park Conservatory. If he had done that alone, he would be considered a genius.
Well, you know, Jensen, there's many aspects of him that we want to get into, his conservation work as well, and the battles that he fought in order to get this stuff done. But, you know, the thing is that we're talking about a guy who was really to landscape architecture. If you look at that alone, he's like the Frank Lloyd Wright equivalent. In fact, they were friends. And, you know, it's really that there was a time period when the idea of the prairie style was just so in vogue. It was just gigantically in vogue, thanks to people like Jensen and Frank Lloyd Wright, actually. And I think that today what's happened is it's become the fabric of our lives here. I mean,
after a period of neglect. What happened in the 50s and the 60s was just sad. Those parks in the
70s.
And 70s, too, yes. Yeah, it was a long time, wasn't it?
Yes.
And yet, even in his own time, he had difficulties. Mark,
he was enmeshed in a lot of different conflicts with the Chicago Park District where he worked. It was, of course, at that point.
And gosh, nobody
nobody ever gets into it, you know.
Ultimately, he either was quit or fired a number of times, and then was brought back when the reformers were swept into office. So he was constantly battling with the bureaucracy.
And at one point, his wife found out he had been fired.
She
read it in the paper.
Right. But I think that during the good years, he was able to achieve his great Garfield Park and the great work. And ultimately, by the 20s, he did create an immensely visionary thing called a plan for the Greater West Park System, which saw taking a giant kind of reconstituting of all the space around the city. The plan was not implemented. All the commissioners were fired, and that was the end of his career. So we're going to try to look at this loss.
Well, his public career, because then after
all the career.
After that, yeah.
But even in his private career, he had conflicts. I mean, famously, Mrs. Henry Ford, I think her name was Clara, she didn't like things he did. So he fought with his public his private clients as well, so... But among the other things he did that, again, any one of these things,
right,
he would be remembered for, but after the failure of the Greater West Park System, he shifted his emphasis towards these conservation efforts. We know he was instrumental in creating what we now have in the forest preserves here in the city. He had done early work with Dwight Perkins, was incorporated into Daniel Burnham Plan of Chicago. Then they worked. He founded a number of organizations such as the Prairie Club and worked in the Friends of Our Native Landscape. Which created the awareness around what became the Illinois State Park, Starved Rock, etc. But another one of his major causes was the Indiana Dunes, which started back, you know, in 1915-17, and that went on for decades before he finally sued.
At that point, was paying any attention that was being carved up by the great steel industry?
Exactly, right. Gary was founded in 1905, and the steel companies were coming in and gobbling up the dunes, and so... There was a famous biologist, Henry Carles at the University of Chicago, Coles, who was at the University of Chicago, created the word ecology, and he was a good friend of Jensen's. And so,
but what he did to call attention to the Indiana Dunes is he had a pageant put on there.
Right. And really, what happened in Indiana, just to step back for a second, was the land that was the Indiana Dunes was considered unusable land, and nobody would want it. Okay, and as Chicago started expanding, they made a plan to say, we're going to keep our lakefront open and free, but we're going to stick the industry in that area called Indiana, because they've got all that space there, all that sand that, you know, nobody can...
And after all, it's just Indiana.
Yeah, well, it's not our state. So, you know, there was this line drawn in the sand, so to speak, between Chicago and Indiana, and when Gary was founded, the work of the Prairie Club accelerated, because they began to realize that, oh my God, what's happening down there is all this land is going to be used by steel mills and industrialized if we don't stop it right now. And Henry Coles, and Jensen had seen that there was biodiversity, and basically they had really looked at the plant structures and come up with what is a modern day understanding of plant succession, which was a very hot new idea, which was all about how you could see at the dunes the sand, then the savanna, then you can see that all this is all right there. And it was spectacular to look at, but at that time nobody thought that this was a great amenity of any kind. So this was the kid to take it from the scientific importance of it and the allure of the sand and looking at the water, that wasn't really considered anything at that time. So, you know, you had to create desire for it. So what Jensen did was, with the Prairie Club, was to create these pageant of the dunes, which the numbers of people that were attracted to it range anywhere from the low thousands to 70,000, and we can't really discern exactly how many because there's so many reports on it. But it's basically just this gigantic pageant that, you know, like at the time, there was really no entertainment to speak of.
Right, and when we're talking actors, and it represented how we took the land from the Native Americans. I mean, that's another thing. It's like, okay, we're going to preserve the dunes, and we're going to beat you over the head with how evil a country you've been to this.
And 70,000 people. I think the pageant showed the history of
this.
With many, you know,
we should have been there.
Yeah, I mean,
reported on it.
It was probably simple entertainment. Yeah. You know, and they would do it every year.
It looked like they had hundreds of actors. there's
hundreds of people
out the pantry.
It's a giant Broadway show, but it
gets to exist on the dunes.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Fabulous. Well,
you think of, like, all these people coming out there on trains in their skirts and things, you know, petticoats and stuff, marching through this. There's no paths, you know, I just think they were out there. I mean, I don't even know what the logistics of this thing were, but.
And that's all part of the film, Jazz Jansen Star.
Yeah.
They will be. Well, thank you both for being here, Mark Frizzell, Carrie London, and.
Keep you posted
and let people know when it's going to be airing in the Chicago area.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
CETA is continuing its goal to bring support services to Cook County families. CETA is here to help eligible Cook County residents permanently reduce their energy bills by making their homes more energy efficient. Apply today for CETA's home weatherization program at CETAorg.net or call. CETA will repair or replace your old furnace, install heat-saving insulation, and much more. Home weatherization is now available at no cost for eligible applicants. 1-800-571-CETA. 1-800-571-2332.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARA. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
That is going to be one interesting hour documentary of Jazz Jansen. And we just sort of touched on the various things in his life that made him a remarkable man. And I don't know how they're going to cram it all in, but, you know, that's why they're paid the big bucks.
One can only hope.
Yes, one can only hope. Second hour of the Mike Novak Show coming up after CNN News, right before Mighty House. And we'll be talking about a solstice celebration and the garden project. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And my dad, of course. Welcome back. At some point in this hour,
speaking very quietly. Why is that?
Because I got your next guest on the phone.
All right, we'll get to her in a second. Because I know that you wanted to. We're at the top of the hour here.
I'm so bad for you in sports.
I know you are. Just let it out.
For me, I think, you know, having the Stanley Cup and everything is wonderful, and I was completely elated, and it was just as good as when the White Sox won it for me.
Uh-huh.
But I think the reason it's so sustaining is the fact that I've seen all my teams now win it in my lifetime because I'm not a Cubs fan.
Well, the Cubs will never win. We know that.
We have win forever, but it seems they are cursed, in fact. I pity their fans. I mean, I do have dear friends that are Cubs fans, but I hope they know this.
You pity the fools.
That's why it's so Mohawk-y, but yes.
Yeah. And given that now the White Sox have taken 2 out of 3.
Hey, they're 5 games out of .500. They might be mediocre by All-Star break.
Yeah, you read that online.
Yeah, I know. All my friends put that on Ben. I had to reuse it. It was that good.
Yeah, in the classic Who Cares series.
Yeah, right?
Over at the
York
side.
I'm still so excited. You are going to take credit for the resurgence.
I am. I'm taking full credit for the Stanley Cup win because
as we know, all of the Blackhawks listen to this show.
Oh, of course. They call them Sunday morning. They're known for getting up early in the morning.
Hey, and Paul will say, about those tomatoes, hey?
Right.
So, you know, they were all listening last week when I called them the Cubs on Ice. And that was it. They didn't lose another game.
Yeah.
How could I not take credit for that?
Yeah, well, I think I had a little to do with the Hockey Mojo, but I'm okay with
it. And now before we get to Martha Boyd from Angelic Organics, hang on there for a second, Martha. I'll be right with you. My little rant.
Okay.
All right. And that is, I saw a story on the day that the big celebration was downtown about protesters. With black umbrellas, did you see anything about it?
No.
Barely anybody covered it. Channel 2 did. You know, good on you, Channel 2. Maybe some of the other stations did. I didn't see it. We're protesting the oil spill. Same day as the Blackhawks celebration.
Oh, dear.
They had a couple of hundred people with black umbrellas to signify the oil spill, okay? And apparently they were trying to get somewhere in Grant Park on one of the bridges there and were denied. And we got 20 billion people in downtown hanging on rafters because of hockey.
Right.
Does the phrase misplaced priorities mean anything to you? I don't want to take away people's fun for something, but you know what?
Hockey.
Well, you know, we're killing
somebody.
Gulf of Mexico is dying. It is dying right now. And, yeah, I know the Blackhawks won, and it doesn't happen very often. Well, if we could get a 20th of the enthusiasm for fixing the problems we have in our world, maybe, you know, that and the energy crisis that we have in this country and the health crisis that we have in this country, if we could get a 50th of the energy that we get for a hockey game, we might be a better society.
I have to completely and totally and utterly agree with you.
That's my rant. And thank you. It's just, I look at that and I think,
to take away from your valid frustration there, I think our one big reason it was so many people jumped on the bandwagon and took it as far as they did was it was so nice to have a positive headline. Because it had been, you know, the oil spill, and you know, I think so many people like left on it and bit down as hard as they did just for that reason alone, the distraction.
But I, last week, for example, I said, come on out to City Council.
Right.
I urged people. I know people complain about recycling in the city of Chicago, and they should. It's a joke and a disgrace. And the City Council should be ashamed, and the mayor should be ashamed. And they should be ashamed every day. And I'm getting angrier and angrier by the day that this isn't solved. And then when the city council comes out this week, and instead of figuring out a way to get 360,000 blue carts to the people who need them, they instead say, well, you suburbanites, you should stop using our containers for recycling. I want to smack somebody. I want to turn off the lights and lock the door. City Council is what I want to do. You get your
priorities
together. Get your priorities straight. Don't go yelling at the suburbanites because a few of them happen to die. I'm grateful they recycle.
Right.
I'm grateful somebody is recycling.
Or trying to.
And you know how hard it is in Chicago. Go to ChicagoRecycling.org. We've got a picture. That's Chicago Recycling
Coalition.
CRC. ChicagoRecycling.org.
Tiny presence
in full disclosure, which is why I'm so ramped up right now. And I don't make any money for it, regardless of what that
goes. You did.
I believe in it.
Right.
I'm going to die. I spent a lot of time.
God, you didn't have that either. Sacrifice for passion.
And go to our website. We got a photo from a guy in town who takes recycling to the drop-off centers on his bicycle, because that's the only way he can do it. This is the state of recycling in Chicago. It's gotten to the point where people have to strap it to their bicycles and take it to the drop-off centers. Mayor Daley, you could be ashamed.
City Council, you should be ashamed. Let's get it done. Let's just get it done. We're the laughing stock of the country. Cities like New York and Los Angeles can do it. San Francisco, of course, Seattle. All major cities know how to recycle, except Chicago. And all we do is dither and make excuses and point fingers and say, oh, gosh, we don't have any money. It's a basic city service. Do you have money for trash pickup? Do you have money for fire and police protection? Find the money for recycling.
You're here, Mike Novak.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. But the nice thing is in reading between the lines on a positive note, there are things like the urban initiative taking place in the city of Chicago, and there are people that care just as much as you do, like your next guest, Martha Boyd.
You just put me off this. So
you got it. Exactly.
I was going to do it anyway.
I know you were. But I was going to let you breathe, so I thought I'd just, you know.
I need oxygen. Could you give me some oxygen?
Martha? I had the D-fib in the other room ready to go. I was going to shock you.
I'm okay, Martha. I really am.
I was waiting to hear what the segue would be.
I try. So I keep you around and doesn't turn my mic off on me all the time.
Not all the time, bro.
No, that was a great rant, and it gets to one of my sort of theories, which is the Stanley Cup thing, I think of as the mall opening effect. If I could get people to events and activities that I put together the way they'll go to a mall opening, I'd be doing really well.
Well, you know, and the point, and I thought where you were going to go with this is if I can get them to the event, I can talk to them and I can convince them to act. You know, like the summer solstice celebration you're going to do next Saturday. If you can get people to come to the event, you can show them how important these initiatives are. Things like urban agriculture, and get them excited about it. But that's the hard part. You know, I was talking about, I invited people to come to city council. We have a few, you know, a handful of people. And we have 2 million that come out for hockey. And again, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, and I'm glad people are excited about it. But let's just take some of that energy and put it to good use.
Well, I guess I'm in charge of the different kinds of parades, and I think you are, too.
It could be. So now that I kept you hanging through my rant, the floor is yours, Martha Boyd, who is the program director for the Chicago Urban Initiative of the Angelic Organics Learning Center. It's a big title. What does it mean exactly, Martha?
Well, Angelic Organics Learning Center is a parent organization. We're a nonprofit, and we're the educational partner to Angelic Organics Farm out by Rockford and Beloit. And Angelic Organics Farm is a CSA. But here in Chicago, we focus on growing food in the city and helping neighborhood projects get underway and people learn skills to do it.
And you teach them a lot of those skills. As a matter of fact, what I chatted with you yesterday, you were again involved in the chickens. The chickens in the city. And as I mentioned to you, we have a rooster on our block now, which is goofy because, as you pointed out to me, chickens are one thing, roosters are another. And not just to be all female, but explain the difference in having a chicken versus a rooster in the city.
Your point is to raise chickens for eggs. You do not need a rooster. So that's first and foremost. You can get by with just the girls. And for the boys, lovely as they can be as individual animals, are really loud. They pack an enormous volume, decibel volume to the same body. And most of the complaint calls that cities get about chickens are actually about roosters and the noise they make. So we recommend that people not keep roosters in the city. But there are roosters in Chicago. Some of them are roosters that somebody dropped off somewhere and somebody's taking care of it and doesn't know, doesn't want to kill it and doesn't know where else to take it. Some of them are there because somebody's raising fighting birds.
That's not the good thing. No,
that's not the good thing.
Yeah.
So generally, we recommend no roosters.
How do you know somebody's raising a fighting bird? Because I would assume that if the rooster is not around another rooster, it's going to be perfectly tame.
people seem to know who in their neighborhood is actually doing that with their roosters. You know what I mean? It's more of a neighborhood scuttlebutt kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But that is illegal. Keeping roosters just because they're noisy is not illegal, but we now have a noisy animal ordinance for any kind of animal that's loud. So,
oh, yeah, I'm sure that works. Yeah, yeah.
But
no dog has ever gone off.
We'll work on the teenagers on my block.
That's what I always say. There are a lot of dogs, cars, and teenagers louder than any chicken, but are we
still? Yeah. All right, well, hang on a second, because I want to get to the details of this. That's Martha Boyd from Angelic Organics Learning Center. They're going to celebrate summer solstice next Saturday, and we're going to find out what that's all about in just a second. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Something to think about as you work on your spring yard, lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other, and lawn roots often win. Everybody thinks it's the opposite, or many people do. They think, well, you know, the tree's big, it's got bigger roots. Well, guess what? Studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. 90%! Grass wins. This is just one of the reasons why you don't want to plant your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree. And you're going to find out more about this kind of thing if you give the Care of Trees a call. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh patty tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good and you'll feel good because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center, and to learn more, go to NeptunesHarvest.com.
You know, one of the places you can get Neptune's Harvest is Pesci's Garden Center. I know Wally likes Neptune's Harvest a lot, and it's a product that you can use indoors and out. And the wonderful thing about fish fertilizers is that they've come a long way, baby. You know, it used to be you'd say, ooh, that's a little stinky. You know what? They refine that, so you don't have those problems anymore. And if you're wondering why Pesci's was voted Best Florist and Best Garden Center and Nursery in the 2010 Daily Herald Reader's Choice Awards, all you need to do is stop in. You are sure to find your old-time favorites and great new selections. There's a huge variety of 4-inch pots. You can mix and match your annual flats. Pesci's has a large selection of pre-made, ready-to-go containers. And are you looking for perennials or grasses that come back year after year? Pesci's offers a terrific selection of perennials ranging in size from 3-inch pots to gallon and 2-gallon containers. If you have a small garden, you might be in the market for a flowering vine or climber. They're fast-growing, heavy-blooming, and perfect for many applications in the garden. Pesci's Garden Center, family-owned since 1924. Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's in Des Plaines, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent spray. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market.
market. Bob-X repellents gives people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to Bob-X.com. That's Bob-X.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
Hey, I want you guys to meet some new friends of mine, Christy and Greg Kurtz from Artesia Home Visions out in Naperville. I just toured their warehouse a few weeks ago and was blown away by what they're doing. They're redefining decorative finishes for countertops, tables, pretty much any surface. I saw what they did to an old laminate countertop. It looked and felt like real granite after they applied their secret finish.
Come on.
No, really. It absolutely looked like real stone. The best part, it's all about half the cost of getting real stone. There are tons of great finishes, colors, and textures to choose from. So pretty much anything you find in a home fashion magazine, they can duplicate. So there you have it. My official endorsement for a great company with an awesome product. Give our team at Home Visions a call at 630-995-3865. And have them spec out your next project. Hey, don't take my word for it. Check out their pictures at ArtesiaHomeVisions.com. That's A-R-T-E-S-A HomeVisions.com. Or check out the link at MightyHouse.net.
Speaking of Artesia, another great sponsor of the makeover, the ultimate backyard makeover, and we've got three finalists now. And if you go to ChicagosProgressiveTalk.com, you can log on, you can vote for one of the three who will get the ultimate backyard makeover. And I saw Rod out in the hall. I don't know if we've got the finalists here, but at some point we got to talk to them. We'll either talk to the finalists or we'll talk to the winner next week. But that announcement will be made next week. But the voting is going on right now. Go to Chicago's Progressive. You know, if you take either one, it goes to the same place. Chicago Progressive Talk or Chicago's Progressive Talk. And you can vote now on the finalists. And I see they flip the order around from time to time. That's interesting. Yeah, I like the one with the pool, where the pool was, and it's a mosquito breeding area.
Yeah.
And but I like the kids too with the sign. The sign that they
do. Please help us fix our yard. Please help us fix our yard.
So they're all up there, and you can vote. All right, let's go back to we got a call coming in there too. Look at that. I didn't even give out the number. 773-838-WCPT is the number if you ever want to talk to me. 773-838-9278. We are back with Martha Boyd from Angelic Organics Learning Center. So what are you going to do next week? You're going to celebrate? You're going to dance around and have rituals and stuff? What's going to happen next week?
Well, it is the solstice. Do we all know what the solstice is?
You know, that's a good point. You have to explain what the solstice is.
Explain what it is, at least in the terms of what the sun is up to, or maybe more what the planet is up to. It occurred to me for the first time, it's basically the beginning of summer or the beginning of winter.
It really is the beginning of winter because...
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I've always thought about that. I know people love the solstice, but it always makes me a little sad because from that point on, the days are getting shorter.
They're actually getting shorter, so we've been tilting toward the sun ever since December, and we're tilting, the Earth is tilting, the northern latitudes are closing in on the sun, the days get a little bit longer every day, and then as of solstice next Monday, we'll start tilting backwards again. So we call it the first day of summer, but in a way we're already projecting our way toward winter again.
And ironically, here in the northern hemisphere, at this point in the Earth's revolution around the sun, we are at the farthest point from the sun. It doesn't matter, in this case, where we are in regard to the sun. It matters where the tilt of the Earth is, because we're pointed dead on, or closer to dead on to the sun. That's why we get the warmth and the heat. But actually, in terms of the Earth's path around the sun is an ellipse, and we're at aphelion. Is that it?
I don't know that word.
Look up the solstice there. I'm trying to remember the term for being the farthest point from the sun. But we are farther. You know, which makes me wonder, is summer in the southern hemispheres hotter than summer in the northern hemispheres, because they're pointed directly at the sun in their summer, but they're closer to the sun than we are in our summer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a good question. All right, and
as a result, anyway, it's a great time to think about cycles, all kinds of cycles, and just the connections to between us as human beings and the world we live in. So food, obviously, we work on all the time, but we are going to have a bunch of different people there from C3. Somebody will be talking about recycling, actually. But as far as the cycles you're asking about, ritual, we made a labyrinth out of twigs and grass last year that was just beautiful, and we're going to do that again and rock it with folks. And hoping, crossing fingers for a somewhat non-stormy Saturday so that we can spend a lot of time outside and be in the garden. In the kitchen, we'll have people baking with industrial harvest Sarah Cabbage. I don't know if you've talked to her yet about her wheat project. But she'll be in town, and then we're also going to make some seasonal grain salads, pilaf, cactus or pilaf for the potluck. So there's a potluck at 6 after an afternoon of activity.
So you just keep people running around all day, make them bake bread, you make them do stuff, and then you feed them. And then they collapse on the ground.
Well, and hopefully they bring something to help feed each other. It's a potluck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully we have a lovely evening and everyone can enjoy the time outside. But we are at First Presbyterian Church, so we can be indoors.
And that's 6400 South Kimbark Avenue in Chicago.
Yes.
And I've got the link up on my webpage, mikenovak.net, this week. And I think Rick DeMaio just called in with the proper terms. I should have known. I'm glad he's still listening.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy that'll straighten me out. I couldn't remember what it is, and Heather's taking that down. But before we do that, do you mind if we take a phone call? Can you get me I'm sorry there, Heather. I know you're multitasking here. Who is on the line there? There we go. Let's go to Sandra in Bolingbrook. And maybe, Martha, you can help me with this. Sandra, you got a question?
Yes, Mark, thanks for taking my call. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I have been on a quest for organic garden soil, and I found it. And I've got it in my raised bed. Right now, I've got tomatoes and mushrooms growing. Is that normal to have mushrooms growing in my organic soil? And can I do anything about that?
That's a really good question. Martha, did you hear that?
I couldn't really hear her, nope.
All right, she's got organic soil that she put in a raised bed, and she's got mushrooms coming up in the organics. And I was wondering, I mean, I have my own theory on this, but I was wondering what you would say about this, whether this is good or bad.
Whether it's like good or bad?
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad. I like fungi. I've been thinking them as part of the soil web, and it's been real dense.
Yeah, and that's my point. What you've got there probably is just you've got fungi because you've got some compost that hasn't broken down completely,
okay,
is what I'm thinking, Sandra. Because of the moist conditions, yeah, you're going to have a few mushrooms coming up. If they bother you, all you got to do is, you know, rake them.
Okay.
And that's not going to be a problem. And when it dries out a little bit, you will have less. You know, it does make me worry a little bit, Martha, about whether she's losing some nitrogen if there's still that kind of undecomposed material in the bed. But are you using anything besides compost, Sandra, to fertilize your plants?
No, I just put a little bone meal in when I put the plants in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't add any other nutrients.
Yeah, the nitrogen is what you'd probably be using if you're doing that. If you feel a little worried about losing nitrogen, you can add some organic nitrogen fertilizer. You can use Espoma or Dr. Earth, or you can find other products out there that they're not going to hurt anything, and they might actually help in that regard. Also, I'll tell you what, the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to send you, just for calling, Sandra, I'm going to send you a gallon of Neptune's Harvest fertilizer. See, she understands. She knows. You know it's good stuff. So hang on and talk to Heather, and I appreciate you giving us a call.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye. Let us quickly go to line three, Martha. I believe our meteorologist and overall scientist, Rick DeMaio, is on the line. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
And
is that an alert?
Yeah, exactly. And you're just calling to get a prize, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm by the way, I'm Lakefront Rick. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
It sounds like the score, right?
Yeah, exactly. Lakefront Rick. Go Hawks.
Anyway, so I'll keep this brief. And you guys were talking about the aphelion and the perihelion.
That's right.
Yeah, we are actually, believe it or not, for the northern hemisphere. The sun is at its furthest away.
I did get that right.
July.
Okay, I got that right. Let me give myself credit. There we go.
Okay, and that's called the aphelion. The good way of
getting that right, too. All right.
The word
two for two.
Away.
Yes.
And in the wintertime, right around the second week of January, we're in the perihelion, and that's when the sun is closest. So the sun is actually closer by about 3.5 million miles for residents in the southern hemisphere. Now, you would think that that would allow them to have a warmer period of time during the summertime, but because there's so much more water in the southern hemisphere, it actually balances out. The overall temperature in the southern hemisphere is about the same in the northern hemisphere.
There's the answer to the question, because I worried that it would be warmer down there. And so,
well, what happens is you get actually more direct incoming solar radiation, and they've done studies in north central sections of Australia has more intense direct solar radiation than anywhere else in the world. And if you want to put solar panels, the best place to put them, a solar farm, is in north central Australia, not only because of the more direct sunlight, but also because of the high reflectivity off of the soil and the sand.
Excellent. Now, we could all get the grid to work. We could transport some of that around the globe.
Right. Well, that'll be tough to do. I think you got to keep it in Australia.
Yeah, probably. Well, Rick DeMaio, I wish I could give you a prize, but
no, that's okay. I used up the 5 minutes I didn't get from this morning.
Oh, that's right. That's what the agenda was. Okay.
Yeah, I keep tabs of my time there, know that.
I know you do. Okay, well, you can punch out now.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, bye-bye. So there we have it. We have our summer solstice explanation. We have the big Angelic Organics Learning Center celebration next week. It's going to be at 6400 South Kimbark Avenue in Chicago at the First Presbyterian Church. Martha Boyd will be there. Bring a potluck. Have some fun. And like I said before, this is the opportunity for you to get people involved in urban horticulture or urban agriculture.
Yeah, and thank you so much for giving me some time to talk about it today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And I will correct what I didn't realize you were talking about the homepage.
Yeah, it's that, right.
Martha has a long title.
Long name for organization and department.
And I unfortunately shortened it a little too much on the homepage, and I will fix that so people do not get confused. And by the way, just so folks know, this week on the homepage, I'm going to leave it up all summer, I put a list of Chicago farmers markets. Both in the city and in the suburbs, there's various links you can go to, including Planet WCPT, Metro Mix has something, the local beat, Illinois Refreshes, and the Fresh Squeeze all have lists of farmers markets, and that's on my home page, mikenovak.net. So if you don't know where to go to get your fresh produce, that's one place you can look. Martha, I will talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay. You too, Mike. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
presenting the new American lawn from Jonathan Green.
They have great lawn seeds and great fertilizers like their Natural Beauty all-organic lawn fertilizer. What makes this fertilizer different is that it doesn't have any phosphorus, which can create algae blooms in our lakes and streams. Jonathan Green Natural Beauty all-organic lawn fertilizer does contain 25% humates, the best food source for the beneficial microbes in the soil. It provides excellent soil and turf nutrition for up to 10 weeks per application. It's rich in primal humates. Those are fossilized remains of plant and animal life. And these humates are combined with the kelp meal, feather, bone, and blood meals to form a complete homogeneous organic fertilizer. Natural Beauty also contains amino acids, vitamins, and polysaccharides, which are naturally derived from fruits and vegetables. And this unique formula feeds beneficial soil microbes. That's the important part. It prevents thatch buildup and increases earthworm activity. You can find Jonathan Green products at Allsip Home and Nursery in St. John, Indiana, Sid's Home and Garden Showplace in Bolingbrook, and Pasquinsy Home and Garden Center in Barrington.
Remember running around your backyard as a child? Sunshine warming your face, summer breeze in your hair? Who'd have thought that someday that same sun and wind would power our everyday lives? Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy in Chicago harnesses the awesome power of nature, converting raw resources into renewable and sustainable energy for your home and business. They specialize in professional design and installation of solar PV, thermal and wind turbines, as well as providing certified energy audits. Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy is on the cutting edge of wind and solar technology, and owners Rihanna and John have been advising consumers on alternative energy for years. As a matter of fact, John serves on the board of the Illinois Solar Energy Association. Choosing alternative energy is easy when you've found the right professional. Call Earth, Wind, and Solar today and ask for your free site assessment. To learn more about money-saving, earth-loving ways to heat and power your home, call 312-243-9933. That's 312-243-9933. Or log on to earthwindandsolarenergy.com.
And if you're in Australia, you really want to call Earth, Wind, and Solar because, as Rick DeMille says, this is the best place to get the sun's rays on the planet. Yes, Heather.
You have Web Girl Lisa was curious about mushrooms in the soil. Can you break it up and mix it back into the soil so that it would break down?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just mushrooms. You know, it happens a lot in mulch piles. Especially, you know, I'm betting some people have encountered mushrooms growing in their mulch piles with this high humidity and the excessive rain. And sometimes you get something that's not actually a fungus, but a slime mold. And some people call it dog vomit fungus. And I like it just because I get to say dog vomit fungus on the radio.
That sounds appetizing.
I used to be able to say dog vomit fungus on a 50,000-watt radio station. I have slightly less power now, but
yeah.
I still get to say dog vomit fungus.
You have less power in wattage, and that's about it.
And by the way,
other than that, I'd say you're greater as your entity might know mine.
Well,
you've been a man.
Today, yeah, I guess it is. But by the way, if you do have dog vomit fungus, what it looks like is this yellow slimy thing.
I've seen dog vomit, so
it happens in your mulch pile or even in your garden, God forbid. It's harmless. You just break it up, and when things dry out, you know, get some air in there. That's basically the reason it's growing. So that could possibly happen. Now, you've heard me talk about Espoma fertilizers and potting mixes, but a couple of months ago, my friend Jennifer Brennan from The Chalet was on the show, and she raved about Espoma's line of Earth Tone pesticides. Earth Tone pesticides offer effective answers to the gardener's toughest challenges, whether the problem is weeds, moss, fungus, dog vomit fungus, slugs, snails, or insects. Espoma has a solution available. The one Jennifer really liked was Earth Tone 3-in-1 Disease Control. That's the one in the pink bottle. It kills fungus, insects, and mites. It can be used for indoor and outdoor plants. And it comes in a 24-ounce ready-to-use spray bottle and 16-ounce concentrate.
You can also look for Earth Tone 4-in-1 Weed Control in the green bottle and Earth Tone Insect Control in the blue bottle. And as Espoma says in the FAQs on their website, by design, they do not handle any material deemed hazardous or toxic by the US EPA. However, always read and follow label directions. That's called being a savvy consumer. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or go online to espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com. Espoma is the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Let's put it this way. They were around when Jens Jensen was doing his thing. I just happened to think about that. I thought, wow, you know, maybe Jens Jensen started Espoma. I don't know.
Maybe he used it.
Who knows?
This is a good stuff. This works.
Community. I like to use Espoma.
Oh, I see.
That was a little more Italiano cartoon people maker.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Nice brick patio.
Thanks.
I had enough of the wood deck. Time to upgrade.
You didn't do this yourself, did you?
This is pretty elaborate.
Heck no. I had Lucian and his guys from Hardscape Designs do it. They did my neighbors across the street, and his patio is twice this big.
We've been thinking of switching the brick, too. It seems the big thing now.
This looks amazing.
Well, give Lucian a call. Got his number right here on my phone. 847-966-7620. 847-966-7620. Did they do all this new landscaping too?
Yep. I don't have time for yard work, and you've seen our neighbors' yards.
Yeah. Angle cut, shrubs that look like lions and giraffes.
Right. So I had Hardscape Designs bring in all those plants and flowers, and they come once a week to mow and trim. Life's good again.
Maybe all that extra time will improve your swing.
Oh, burn, buddy.
Call Hardscape Designs for brick and stone patios that will turn your neighbor's dream with envy. 847-966-7620. Or log into Hardscape Designs.
You just don't go there. All I'm saying is, don't go there. Don't even mention what you were just telling me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. Those colorful buds in your beds grow fast and bloom frequently, which means you need to water them a lot. Well, not this year so far. Which means that precious nutrients get flushed from the soil. Well, how do you make sure those nutrients don't get run out of town? Try Back to Nature Flower Bed Conditioner, which is specifically formulated to boost vitality and bloom from flowering plants. Flower Bed Conditioner is a balanced blend of composted cotton burrs and composted cattle manure with feather meal, cottonseed meal, alfalfa meal, and sulfur. Cotton burrs and cattle manure provide food to beneficial soil organisms. These organisms help to make nutrients available to plants as well as aerate the soil and keep harmful pathogens in check. Basically, with all the Back to Nature products, this is what they do. The cotton burr compost is great stuff. It's a clay buster. And they also have Back to Nature cotton burr compost, acidified cotton burr compost, Nature's Blend with alfalfa and humate, and Rosebed Amendment. You can find Back to Nature compost products at Fertile Gardens in Chicago, Tox Nursery in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and Pasquazes in Lake Bluff and Barrington. You know, I only do this to torture you because I know this will be in your head the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. But I'll have your listeners, too. They're going to be walking and going,
Joe Builder's head the rest of the week, too. So I'll bet it'll be in LaManda Joy's head as well. LaManda?
I'm here.
You're going to be here in Rock Lobster for the rest of your life.
Okay, good.
Especially if you know, it's one of those things when you're in a garden and you're working hard and you get a song in your head and then you start working to the music in your head, you know, like raking or hoeing or digging, and somehow you get into, or even pruning sometimes, you get into this rhythm and you're going, burr, 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 burr. Do you find that happens to you, LaManda?
Well, you know, it's funny, I was on hold waiting to talk to you, and I was pulling some weeds, and I realized I was sort of
shaking my booty to the music. So I was born weed. I'm sure all the gardeners here enjoyed that.
LaManda Joy is has been on the show a number of times now, and she is, you Twitter folks, is The Yardin, but she's also on her blog, The Yardin, and she's also kind of the brains behind the Peterson Garden Project, which is a garden at Peterson and Campbell in the city of Chicago, which is the site of a World War II victory garden, at least partially a site. World War II Victory Garden, and she's creating another kind of Victory Garden. You have 140 plots. If you go to my website, LaManda.net, we put a picture up there. LaManda and I are seeing the beds when they were about half set out. That was a lot of lumber, wasn't it?
It was a lot of lumber, a lot of drilling.
A lot of drilling, a lot of nailing, a lot of schlepping, carrying, a lot of fabric, a lot of compost. And you had a little of compost crisis this week. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, the rain has not been our friend this season in terms of delivery of materials. Every day we've planned on having volunteers and stuff showing up. It's rained, or it's rained the night before, and the stuff was too wet to carry. But I'm happy to announce that we got our final little mountain of compost yesterday. So.
Yay!
And as soon as the last one was delivered, we got a big old deluge, so we all were standing out of the tent doing a little sing-along to cheer us up.
Yeah, you know, and it makes it harder to dig out when it gets all wet. You'd rather have it nice and light and dry.
Well, we did prep it, so.
That's good. You're smart. Now, you were a little confused because you got half of the load and then you got another half. Was there some confusion about what was going on?
Well, apparently, the story goes that someone here on site, one of our volunteers, I guess, told the driver that we can have room. That's what the company told me. So I don't know if that's the case or not, but they just stopped delivery and then didn't bother to call me and tell me why they stopped delivery or what in the delivery was time. So I've been on the phone a lot.
But this is why we have somebody in charge. But it also points out that doing a community garden can be tricky because there's a lot of cooks, right?
Well, that, and also it's a crazy busy time of year. You know, I'm sure the landscape companies are just pulling their hair up, staying up late hours, fighting the rain as much as we are, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of time, and we did this garden fast, so that's part of it too, you know. Had I been able to order these things a couple months ahead and get on a schedule, it would have perhaps been a little different.
But the point I'm going to make is that these things happen all the time like this. You're trying to get this garden up, a really Herculean effort. In a very short time and get it rolling so people have stuff to plant and can still have a harvest this year. And they will. There's still plenty of time. You say, well, I wish we'd have gotten going earlier. It happens to everybody. And these are the kinds of things, if you're putting together a block garden, a community garden, some sort of urban agriculture, all these things are kind of come up and bite you in the butt. It's just going to be part of that. It's going to be the space, or you didn't get enough compost, or the compost can't get in because there's not enough room for the truck, or wait a second, hey, where's the water coming from? Where do we run a hose? Or, you know, what am I missing, LaManda? There's other things that come up, right?
It's true. It's absolutely true. But, you know, I have to say that the gardeners here have been really happy and patient. Nobody's been done out of shape about it but me. So, you know, they're just happy that they have the dirt out. So, yeah, we're moving on.
Well, that's great, and you've got the compost, so you can finish filling the beds, and what's the timetable for that?
Well, we have about 90 of the beds filled and being started to plant, so that's exciting. I'm walking around as we're talking, sort of admiring different people's gardening techniques. We have 50 remaining beds, and we've asked the gardeners to fill them themselves because at this point, you know, rallying the volunteers, all the volunteers want a garden, so we got about 50 to go, and I expect a lot of people today if the weather holds off, and then early next week, we've had been really busy in the evening, so a lot of people have been coming after work,
So we're rolling. It's pretty funny.
Well, and again, obviously you have all kinds of people there. People, as you say, have to work during the day and they come in the evening. As I'm sure some people come on the weekends. You, I'm sure, try to come during the week, during the daytime. Not everybody can do that, but more power to them because they're going to have more. Can they get in during the week if they need to?
Oh, absolutely. We've had people here. You know, people have to sign waivers, so we have to make sure everybody has their waivers signed.
There's another gotcha.
Yes, another gotcha for sure.
It's who has access and how. So I'm not saying that putting one of these community gardens together or an urban farm is prohibitively difficult. I'm just saying that you have to pay attention, and it's good to talk to people like you. You know, if I'm somebody who's planning to do this, I would get a hold of Lamanda Joy and go to the Yarden and check out what she's done and the problems she's encountered in putting this all together.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I was talking with some of the core volunteers, and maybe we could teach a class or something this winter, you know, so people just sort of know the top 10 things that you should worry about and the top 10 things that you might not worry about, but will be surprisingly and happy and wonderful.
You know, Tony, I just got a tweet from Zamboni.
Yeah, she's one of our core group people. She's awesome.
Oh, well, she says, I'm lucky I'm doing this by phone, otherwise you'd stick a shovel in my hand.
Exactly. I guess, we have encouraged people to get a little sweat equity in there, for sure.
You know, I guess I missed the whole compost shoveling. Darn it, I wanted to get there.
Don't worry, I'm going to get the compost out back today.
That's true. Well, we're planning. We've got our earth boxes here at the Chicago's Progressive Talk, and I'm going to finish putting those together today. So,
that's fun.
Yeah, outside in the parking lot. We're growing tomatoes and peppers right now. In fact, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but before I let you go, Lamanda, because I know you're eager to get back and shovel compost, you're doing a talk this Wednesday, right?
Yes, Wednesday, 7 o'clock at the Devon Bank on Western Avenue. It's the Chicago Victory Gardens yesterday and tomorrow. And, you know, I love to tell the 1940s part of the story because it's so important to what we're doing today. So I'm very excited. I would love it if anybody wants to come and join us.
And does it cost anything?
I'm sorry?
Does it cost anything?
It's $5.
$5. And it's a great story. And she's told the story in part on this program. You should hear the whole thing. And, Lamanda, I've never seen anybody with so much energy.
I love the garden, Mike, and I want everybody to garden.
I know you do, and
happy energy.
And congratulations. Like I said, I went out there, and I could see that it was going to get done. Sometimes these things don't work out. We will just keep posting the whole summer, and you let me know what's going on over there. And again, I have to tell you, this morning at 6, when I was up and putting stuff together, I realized I hadn't put the link for your garden talk on my website, and I did it. I put it on the website program and then forgot to upload it. So when I get off the air here, I'm going to upload it so that it's there. So people can go to my website and then find out about your garden talk this Wednesday. Give me the plug one more time for that.
Chicago Victory Gardens yesterday and tomorrow. It's at the Devon Bank on Western Avenue. 7 p.m., $5. It's sponsored by the West Rogers Park Historical Society, so their members are free.
And I have to thank Lamanda. She gave me organic potato seeds that I haven't gotten in the ground yet, but that's it. And I'm very excited about getting my potatoes in, and I know I got to do it quick so we can get them done. Head up to Peterson and Campbell. You'll see the Peterson Garden Project. It's pretty awesome and awe-inspiring, and Lamanda, we will talk again real soon.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There are only 2 weeks left in June, believe it or not, but you can still pick up a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. A full 98 pages is one of the best gardening bargains, gosh darn it, you'll find anywhere for Zone 5 gardeners. That's what we are in Chicago. This is garden walk season, and you're not going to find a more comprehensive list of garden walks and events
than the ones in Chicagoland Gardening, or actually than the one, that's what I meant to say, in Chicagoland Gardening. Then there are the articles filled with photos and tips and plain old inspiration, like the one about the Southwest suburban woman whose arthritis forced her to change her gardening style from in-ground to containers and how she did it brilliantly. By the way, my column is on the, well, it's at the back of the magazine, all the way on page 98, which gives you an idea of the clout that I have in the horticultural world. Chicagoland Gardening magazine is on newsstands all over the area, but I advise you to subscribe and have it delivered to your home. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too. First, DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on the Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
What is it that Zamboni said about...
That Lamanda does not have energy, that it is a vortex of wonder.
To coin a phrase.
To coin a phrase.
June is Perennial Plant Gardening Month, a great time to discover new perennials at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center. Right now, Sid's is celebrating Perennial Gardening Month with their Perennials on Parade event. They invite you to discover the vivid array of perennial plants available to create or expand your personal garden. In fact, Sid's is so excited about perennials that they'll even give you a free perennial with the coupon you can download and print from their website, SidsOnline.com. When planning your perennial display, Sid's recommends selecting combinations of plants to create the most interest and impact. They tell you, plant in odd numbers. I wonder... Yeah, well, that's what they tell you. Odd numbers. Not one, but like three and five.
Oh, I thought you meant like odd numbers of people.
No, odd numbers of people. Yeah. And remember that Father's Day is coming up, and what dad wouldn't love a new Weber grill? Sid stocks the full line of Weber grills and accessories. Or there's always a Sid's gift card so dad can pick out just what he wants. Sid's, Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway, and in Bolingbrook on Naples Plainfield Road and Hassard Boulevard, and on the web, SidsOnline.com. Do you want to get the... Let's get right in here real quick. If you're a gardener, you know about NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, the essential nutrients for plants, and at Dr. Earth, their nitrogen... is from fish meal, cottonseed meal, alfalfa meal, fish bone meal, and feather meal. The phosphorus is partially derived from soft rock phosphate, which you're just not going to find in other products. The potassium is also from natural resources. The point is, Dr. Earth uses natural products, and then they add their special probiotics. Frankly, I don't have the time here to tell you why Dr. Earth is so special. Here's what you do. Try it yourself. Dr. Earth is available only at your local independent garden center or go to DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. Well, I was going to try to get Ron in here. He's probably, you know, having a cup of coffee out there. But I wanted to tell folks that we, as I mentioned earlier, we're starting to put a garden in the parking lot of WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk. And, we've got six earth boxes, courtesy of Sid's. Thank you, Sid's. Courtesy of Pesci's. Thank you, Pesci's. And courtesy, the soil, Dr. Earth. Thank you, Dr. Earth. They donated this so we could put our money where our mouths are, do a little bit of gardening ourselves. And I was going to talk to you, Ron, about this, but I wanted to get a little bit about the contest. But, he's just staring at me because we're out of time. I can't do it now. I sent Heather out looking for you. I don't know where you were. Anyway, in the green room. Mighty House is next, and thank you to all those people helping put our garden out there. I'll keep you posted on the stuff we're growing. Mighty House is next on Chicago's Progressive Talk.